Philippians chapter 4 and starting to read at verse 14. This is God's word. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent me. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's open God's word. If you have a Bible, you might find it encouraging and helpful to have it open. We're in Philippians 4, and we're thinking tonight, as you're about to see, about partners in the gospel. Partners in the gospel. That's the title of this last study in the book of Philippians. Today, you and I are very, very familiar with lots of different partnerships, whether these are partnerships in the world of business, or they're in partnerships in the world of entertainment, or they're partnerships in the world of crime. Let me give you a few examples. We all know Bonnie and Clyde, and they certainly were partnerships for all of the wrong reasons. But then there's Marks and Spencers. Apparently they started, according to Google, as two guys who's just set up a market, a street market, and that's how their partnership in the world of business and retail started. Then, of course, there's Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream. I'm trying to whet your appetite already for your supper tonight. And what a powerful partnership that is. That's very, very close to literally my own heart tonight. And, of course, there's David and Jonathan in the world of the Bible. So there's lots of different partnerships, whether it's in the world of the Bible, whether it's in the world of crime, whether it's in the world of show business, Eric and Ernie, or whatever world it is in, there's lots of different partnerships. And yet the amazing thing is tonight, I want you to be encouraged. If you know Christ, every person that knows Christ is involved in a partnership. In a partnership in a big business, in God's big business. In a big business that has eternal repercussions, eternal ramifications as it spreads throughout the world. Paul, as you know, is writing this book of Philippians. I've said it again and again, but repetition maybe is good. Let me remind you, this book is a thank you note. Epaphroditus has come from Philippi with a love offering for Paul, who's in Rome, imprisoned there. And now Paul sends this letter, this thank you note back from Rome with Epaphroditus to the church at Philippi. It's a thank you note. And what is Paul thanking these believers for? Well, if you have your Bible open at Philippians, flick back with me to chapter 1, verse 5. Even early on in the book, look what he says in verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is writing this note to thank these believers for their partnership in God's work, in the work of the gospel. So that is a great source of encouragement to every person that knows Christ here tonight. There is no such thing as a Christian who is insignificant, because every Christian can be involved in the partnership of the spread of the gospel worldwide. And as Paul concludes this letter of thanks, tonight we're going to see six blessings that come when we take to heart this whole concept of being partners in the gospel. Let me go through them one by one, and you're going to see them in these verses that we're going to study together. Here's the first one, partners in the gospel. Point number one, give towards the spreading of the gospel. Isn't that brilliant? Partners of the gospel, point number one, give towards the spreading of the gospel. Now look at verses 14 and 15. Paul says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. The church at Philippi, their story was the story of a church that cared. When Paul first visited Philippi 10 years before this letter, AD 51, he was on a second missionary journey. He first visited Philippi. He got it pretty tight. The devil did not want the gospel to come to Philippi. Paul and Silas were beaten, they were arrested, they were thrown into prison. And yet miraculously, according to Acts 16, at midnight there was an earthquake. And eventually these guys had to be escorted out of town for their own personal safety. And the believers at Philippi never forgot what Paul had sacrificed to bring the gospel to them. And we learn here in verse 15 that Paul first, when he first left Macedonia to spread the gospel to other regions, the Philippians were the only church that sent him support in the whole realm of giving. If you're in the book of Philippians, flick back a few books and come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because I want you to see something about this church's attitude towards giving. 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 to 4. And in 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 to 4, Paul commends the Macedonian churches for their generosity. Your question straight away is, what were the Macedonian churches? They were the church at Philippi, they were the church at Thessalonica, and they were the church at Berea. Listen to these verses. Look at them with me. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 4. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Did you get it there? Did you see it? Here were these believers at Philippi, and what did they do? They literally pleaded. They literally pleaded for the joy and the privilege of giving to the Lord's work. Can you imagine that? They were poor materially. They were getting it pretty hard because there was persecution going on in Philippi. But they literally pleaded for the privilege of being involved in the work of the gospel by giving towards it and giving towards Paul. Now, of course, when they gave towards Paul, they couldn't drop a check on the post, but they sent this gift through to Paul via Epaphroditus. And this journey from Philippi to Rome wasn't an easy journey. It took probably a number of months. It was a distance of about 700 miles. And yet they climbed over all of those obstacles and gave out of their poverty. They literally pleaded, can we have the privilege of being involved with Paul by giving to the spreading of the gospel. Now, can you imagine, just for a wee moment, what would happen today if ministers and treasurers in church had people come to them and say, listen, I want to give, please let me give, to the Lord's work so that the gospel can be spread. That's the attitude. That was the heart that the Philippian believers had towards Paul and towards the work of the gospel. Today in our world, there are a staggering 7 billion people. 7 billion people. And missiologists estimate, that's those who study the theology of mission, missiologists estimate that probably nearly 3 billion of those 7 billion people are unreached people groups. And yet, folks, the Great Commission still stands. And the Great Commission were Christ's last words to his church. It takes vision, it takes money, and it takes sacrifice to complete the Great Commission. And we will never fulfill the Great Commission without being partners in the gospel. We all can't go to Kenya. We all can't go to Guatemala tonight, but we all can pray for it. We can be partners in the gospel in our prayers. We all can give towards it and be partners with the gospel in our giving. There's a very, very powerful song around. It's been around a number of years. Listen to these words. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. But then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every day you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Then another stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. And that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad that you gave. What is that song vividly saying to us? That song is saying to us vividly, when we give to the Lord's work, we are investing in the work of the kingdom and we are touching lives for eternity. So that's the first thing about being partners in the gospel. We give towards the spreading of the gospel. Here's the second thing. Point number two. We supply the needs of gospel workers. We supply the needs of gospel workers. Drop down this passage to the next verse. Look at verse 16. For even when I was in Thessalonica, Paul says, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. What is verse 16 saying? Verse 16 is saying about these Philippians, as Paul writes and says, thank you for your gift. He is saying, not only did they give once, not only did they give out of their poverty, not only did they beg for the privilege of giving, but they gave again and again and again. And remember, at this stage, Paul was imprisoned. And in those days when people were in prison, they were not cared for by the state. It was up to a prisoner back in biblical times to see that his physical needs were met. And Paul had no network of support. He was in Rome, all these miles away from these people who loved him. And so what did they do? They cared for him by sending, of course, Epaphroditus to Rome with a love offering for Paul. You know, missionaries are not superhuman people. Missionaries are people that love Jesus, but they have needs. They have financial needs. They have material needs. They have emotional needs. They have spiritual needs. And we can supply the needs of gospel workers as we give. Isn't that encouraging tonight? As I say, God might never call many of us to Guatemala or Kenya or wherever many of our missionary partners are tonight in the world. But we can partner with them so that the gospel gets into those places. Here's the third blessing of partnering in the gospel. Point number three, we're storing up treasure in heaven. Look what he says in verse 17. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. Now, I want you to notice in verse 17, Paul is very, very clear. He is clarifying his motives. He is grateful for their financial support, but he is not begging for money. He is not looking for something that might be credited to his account. He is looking for something rather that would be credited to the believers in Philippi's account. Paul is more interested in their spiritual benefit from giving than his material benefit from receiving. Never ever forget, when you and I give to the gospel, we get it credited back to us. Look at verse 17. Here is what verse 17 says. What may be credited to your account. The word credited there in verse 17 literally means compounded interest. In other words, brother or sister, when you give to the work of the Lord, do you know what you're doing? You are investing in the gospel. You're investing in a project that will never fail. You're investing something that will reap eternal dividends. Isn't that so exciting? I remember on one occasion doing a mission in Achadui Presbyterian Church up near Coleraine or Ballymoney direction. And the last night of the mission, this stuck in my mind. The clerk of session shook my hand and thanked me. And then he said these words to me, "Thank you for your investment in the gospel in our congregation." And that somehow just struck a chord with me. Your investment in the gospel in our congregation. When we give, we store up treasure in heaven. Listen to Proverbs 11, verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So there are three blessings so far that come to us when we take on board this amazing privilege of being partners in the gospel. We give towards the spread of the gospel. We supply the needs of gospel workers. We store up treasure in heaven. Let's look at three more. Let's go to point number four. When we're partners in the gospel, we present our gifts as an act of worship that is pleasing to God. Look at verse 18. That's what he's saying. I've received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. In verse 17, what was the imagery? In verse 17, it was the imagery of something being credited to your account. It was an accounting imagery. In verse 18, the imagery is the imagery of a sacrifice. A sacrifice that's rising up to God and is pleasing the great heart of God. Brothers and sisters, here is the encouraging news. When you and I give our tithes and offerings to the work of the gospel, what does it do to God? It pleases the heart of God in heaven. Isn't that fantastic? Listen to how J.B. Phillips renders verse 18. Such generosity is a lovely fragrance, a sacrifice that pleases the very heart of God. The point is, when you and I give, we're not giving specifically to a church. We're not giving specifically to a mission cause or a gospel cause. We're ultimately giving to the Lord. And our giving pleases the heart of God. I find that so humbling. That we can please the heart of God tonight, even through something like giving to the Lord. Something else, a fifth blessing, blessing number five. Partners in the gospel experience God's promise to meet all of their needs. Look at verse 19. Again, it's one of those gems of a verse in the book of Philippians. Verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Notice Paul says, my God will meet all your needs. And who was Paul's God? Paul's God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Paul's God was the God who enabled Joshua to walk around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the walls came tumbling down. Paul's God was the God who enabled David to defeat Goliath. Paul's God was the God who raised his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. And my God will meet all your needs. Now, we can sit here tonight, and that verse, many of us know that verse very, very well. But remember, these are poor people. This is a church that has sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed. And Paul is basically saying, and my God will meet all your needs. according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So tonight, what is your need as you sit in this evening service? Is your need forgiveness? Well, I want to tell you, God has got an abundance of forgiveness. Is your need more grace to face this week? Let me encourage you, God has got an abundance of grace. Are you confused about your future? Do you need a miracle tonight? Do you need salvation tonight? And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This is God's way of saying, you can come back for a second helping. There's plenty more where that came from. This is God's infinite riches. This is God saying, listen, no request is going to be denied on insufficient funds. Do you ever pray and say, now, Lord, this is what my heart is, Lord. This is what my heart is. This is what I'm praying about. But maybe there's a wee doubt. Maybe God can't really do this. And if you pray that way, look at verse 19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's like the child with the plastic bucket trying to drain the Atlantic Ocean. And no matter how often he goes into the sea and brings out some water and makes a little sandcastle and makes a little trough around it or whatever, there's still going to be the Atlantic Ocean. And we go into the ocean of God's grace. We go into the ocean of God's love. We go into the ocean of God's forgiveness. And we take out what we need. But listen, God's ocean of love, God's ocean of grace, God's ocean of forgiveness is still going to be brimming over. There's still going to be so much more of it for us to experience. And here's the sixth blessing that partners in the gospel enjoy. We enjoy a richness of fellowship and grace with other believers. Go down to verse 21. He says, grace to all the saints in Christ Jesus, the brothers who are with me send greetings. And Paul closes this letter by sending personal greetings to the saints of Philippi, as well as greetings from the believers who are with him in Rome. And I wonder, did you notice that he uses the word all in verse 21? And he uses the word all in verse 22. And that's very significant because let's go back to last Sunday morning's message. Do you remember there was a division in this church between two ladies and people maybe were taking sides? And Paul is saying, listen, may you all know God's grace. May you all know God's grace upon your lives. And then in verse 22, he says, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Do you remember Caesar hated the gospel? And yet Caesar's soldiers had started to guard Paul. Do you remember? We learned about this earlier on in our studies. And there was the Praetorian Guard, this elite unit of Roman soldiers who were literally taking it in 4 6-hour shifts every day to be chained to Paul. And Paul started to share the gospel with these guys. And some of these guys had got converted. And now a little church had started. A little fellowship of believers had started in Caesar's household, under his very nose. I'm sure God smiled at that thought. Here was Caesar opposing the gospel, thought, I'll put Paul in prison, and that will be the end of Paul. And yet, when they put Paul in prison, Paul gossiped the gospel to the Roman soldiers from Caesar's household, and a number of them got converted, and a little church started in Caesar's household. That is God's way of working. Doesn't God surprise us at times? Doesn't God overwhelm us at times by the way he works? And then he finishes in verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. If you go back to the very start of the book, he finishes with grace. But he starts with grace. It's just one verse. And look at the second verse of the book. Philippians 1, verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he finish the book with? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is the undeserved favor of God. Hands up, who deserves God to bless them tonight? None of us deserve God's blessing tonight. And that's the amazing thing about grace. That's why grace is amazing. It's something we never, ever deserve. And from start to finish, the Christian life is all of grace. It's all of grace. So as we sit here in Saintfield tonight, isn't it exciting to realize that we can be partners in a big business? No Marks and Spencers. But a world, Marks and Spencer's is worldwide, but a worldwide gospel business that's not going to fail, that's never going to go into recession, and that's going to pay eternal dividends. We can be partners in the gospel through our giving. There are six blessings that come as we partner in the gospel. We give towards the spreading of the gospel. We supply the needs of gospel workers. We store up treasures in heaven. We present our gifts as an act of worship that is pleasing to God. We experience God's promise to meet all our needs. And we enjoy the richness and fellowship and grace of other believers as we do it. Partners in the gospel. Listen, there are 7 billion people in this world. And for all of eternity, they're either going to be in heaven or in hell. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel, folks. We need to get the gospel out there into this world. And we can be partners in this amazing worldwide mission of getting the gospel out there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for the gospel. We thank you that the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16 said it was the power of God unto the salvation of all who believe. And we thank you that the gospel still works. We thank you that the gospel still saves the sinner and makes them ready for heaven. And we thank you, Lord, tonight that whilst there are 7 billion souls living on planet Earth at this very moment, it's the gospel that they need. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and his amazing salvation that they need. And Lord, we can look out at the Great Commission and we can say it's overwhelming. But Lord, we can be partners in the gospel. We can be partners as we give, and we've done that tonight. We can be partners as we pray. We can be partners as we encourage. We can be partners as we gossip the gospel of Jesus. So Lord, thank you that we're involved in big business. Thank you that we're involved in a business that's going to win. In a business that's going to prevail on the last day. And Lord, just as we were listening to the words of that song, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Lord, will you remind us when we give, we well could meet somebody in glory. And from a human point of view, the reason they're in glory was we gave and somebody was able to go and share the gospel. And through the sharing of the gospel, that life was saved. And through that salvation, that person is in heaven. Lord, remind us of just the vastness of this privilege that we're involved in tonight. We ask this all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.